Welcome everyone to the Pro Wrestling Spotlight presents True Heel Heat 25. We are back again, coming 1 week off of the Royal Rumble weekend, so we're going to cover everything that happened during the Royal Rumble weekend, as well as preview Major League Wrestling Super Fight tonight in Philly, as well as New Japan Pro Wrestling New Beginning shows all this weekend and next week. I'm SP3, we got the top guy JJ.
Yes, sir!
And returning is none other than Jay News. You guys wanted him, so we got him back. We got Jay News back with us. Welcome back to the show, Jay News. How was your first time on True Heel Heat? Since you're back, it must have been a good time.
It was fan-fucking-tastic. I'll say that much, man. You know, I enjoyed it. And thank you to the True Heel Nation and the Spotlight Nation for wanting me back. Let's get the show on the road, guys.
All right, so we're going to be talking about the Royal Rumble weekend. So we want to hear your comments. We're going to hear your questions. We're going to be interacting with you guys. We got a bunch of top news to go through. A bunch of people asking for their releases from the WWE. But first, we're going to talk about our True Heel Roll Call. For anyone who's watching us for the first time, our True Heel Roll Call is how we start off the show. We shout out all our people on the True Heels group page. All our people that subscribe to the True Heel Heat YouTube channel, those that are watching us live commenting during True Heel Heat 25, we thank you for watching. We're going to shout a couple of you guys out, and as well as everyone that is following and supporting the Spotlight Nation. So first of all, we're going to talk about our top three conversation starters on True Heel's group page. Number three, we got Robert Ogden. Making his return to the top three, we got Jamie Tanak. Jamie Tanak is one of the number one Becky Lynch fans. Some of us feel like he's a bandwagoner. I feel like his dedication has evolved from bandwagoner to a very legitimate Becky Lynch fan. So he's back in the top two, top three. And of course, number one, once again, is the Peruvian Pip.
Bruno!
Bruno AB!
Bruno!
Number one.
The salty producer's back at it again.
Always. You know? Always upset that Bruno is number one.
Yo, listen, my man. Listen.
he threw napkins at me because of Peruvian, you, Bruno.
Listen, all I'm going to say is that the Peruvian Pimp was at Jabba Slam 3, and a certain salty producer was afraid to show up. I'm just saying. You want to boo somebody, you know, just show up and do something about it.
I did see Bruno AB at the Royal Rumble.
He definitely was. I was sitting right next to him. We had a great time.
Yes.
We had a blast.
A couple of shout-outs to a couple of our True Heels. Of course, those that went to the viewing parties for Legends. We want to shout-out a couple of the people that's contributing to the True Heels group page. One of the people that was at Legends, Chris G, my main man, Chris G. We got Walter Anthony Scott. He's been supporting True Heel Heat, you know, sharing.
Touch my bottle, gentlemen.
Okay. We got to touch the bottle because we have our resident alcoholic, top guy JJ here. Mikey, Becky Lynch.
OG. Michael Hill. He's credible.
Yes, he's credible. Before the band.
These aren't established 2018 Becky
Lynch. No. Not post-SummerSlam Becky Lynch
okay.
fans.
Okay. All right.
OG Becky Lynch
fans. Longer than 5 month tenure. Got
and my spirit animal, Larry Morgan. Shouts out to him. He's now officially naming all of his stakes. Thanks to our WWE champion, our planet's champion, the new Daniel Bryan.
Oh my God. Larry Morgan. He's my hero too, man.
I'm
still fickle. Listen, he's going to have to just give me a kick or something or send Rowan after me, because until he sends me his recyclable, beautiful objects, and you know what? He's still a hypocrite too, because he is the only owner of the 3 pounds of hemp. He's the only owner of it. If you are the planet's champion, if you are the only champion, you need to be distributing that hemp across the planet. I need to be having one of those titles so I could get rid of my pounds of metal and start to get rid of my plastic and start to get rid of all this stuff. Give me some hemp, damn it.
We're going to get rid of this pipe and we're going
to get some hemp.
We're going to get WWE hemp pipes. To support the planet champion. So a couple of our YouTube subscribers, we got Corey Saunders, we got Jason Campbell, who was commenting live during True Heel Heat 24, so we want to thank Jason Campbell, and a very special shout out to Carissa Lizette, who was our very first winner of the 2019 True Heels Royal Rumble Lottery. We drew numbers 1 through 30 for the Women's Royal Rumble. Carissa was thankful enough, glorious enough to get number 28, which was supposed to be Lana, but Becky Lynch
Wow.
Took that spot.
What a turn of events.
The women's war rumble.
What a turn of events.
Out of nowhere. I was this close. I was number 13.
You was number 13. You really was. You was number 13, and we were literally right next to each other. And you had Charlotte, and I was cursing you out for like the whole night just because I picked Charlotte to win. And then clearly, you know, WWE is riding the coattails of Becky now. So Lana gets injured in the pre-show, which looked like it was literally the worst number.
Yeah.
The worst number. You drew 28. And then all of a sudden, she can't walk. So you went from the worst to the favorite. Like, in a matter of seconds.
Well, Carissa says she's going to give me a drink during WrestleMania week when she's here in New York. So I'm going to hold you to that. And another very special shout out to everyone at the Jobber Tears podcast. We both were at Jobber Slam 3, as well as the Royal Rumble viewing party. Everyone out in New York that's a wrestling fan needs to come out to Legends. These viewing parties are a great experience. Being around wrestling fans, getting wrestling fans jealous because we started like different leagues and different secret societies in the wrestling world. So it's a whole different type of like experience. Getting into arguments and debates with wrestling fans is always fun when you add a couple of drinks and some good food. So show up to Legends for Elimination Chamber is the next one. So are you going
to
be there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely going to try to be in the house for that.
Are you going
to
be there?
What?
Put him on the spot. Are you going to be at Legends?
Impotent!
For
change it!
The Elimination Chamber Legends viewing party.
Wait, are you drunk?
No, I'm not. I'm just hungry. But I would say that, I'll make it. I'll make it down to
All
Legends.
Right. All right. I'll We're going to hold you to that as All well. Right. We want to hear from the Spotlight Nation and the True Hills. So let's hear from them, producer.
True Heel Maurice, sup guys? And that's right, JJ called out that fickle Brian for not sharing that.
Hell yeah, yo, I marked the fuck out when he took that shit out of it. I was like, yo, this is the best thing WWE has done in like 10 years, yo. I marked the fuck out. And then the first thing I do is go on to shop.com. Where my title at?
Yo,
where my title at?
If there is date, if they don't make that hemp title, that's gonna be the first title I ever purchased.
That, oh my god, yo, I just
beat people up and collect their titles.
Yo,
but I'm gonna actually purchase this one.
That was the first thing. That's the first time that literally that was something that was sent in a group chat, and the whole group chat liked it. Everybody was like, yeah, hell yeah, this is the fucking, that shit was amazing. I was like, oh, this.
And our planet's champion is also a pot heel. So we got to give it up to that.
And then I love the comment that AJ made. Did you smoke the prototype? I loved it. That was amazing. Did you see his shirt, by the way, though?
So many good lines in that segment, by the way. Yeah. Samoa Joe with one of the best cutting-ass bars.
He's been spitting bars since.
Nah, but that was heat. Like, yo, that my man came down and knocked them down like motherfucking dominoes.
But the best line, when Jeff Hardy wanted to speak, he was like, act like this is AA and keep your,
I felt like
your ass down and keep quiet while I share with the group.
While I share with the group.
That was a low blow a bit. Woo! But hey, it is what it is.
I like the one when he said with Randy Orton too, when I defend you, it ain't gonna come out of nowhere. I like that one too. And Randy Orton, you see Randy Orton's reaction, he's like,
Randy reacted OD when he did the line on Jeff.
He had to. Even Jeff laughed.
Yeah.
Even Jeff was like, God damn. He fucking roasted me. Let's hear another one from the True Hills.
Nick Jackson claims he was there before the bandwagon too.
Absolutely. Negro Buck, Nick Jackson, I believe you. You're a genuine wrestling fan. You're always going to these events. I trust that you may have been before the bandwagon, but we need proof. We need proof. You need to post it. Anyone else?
Joe was on fire. Seems to be consensus.
Yes. Joe's promo was amazing. So let's get into our top news. You guys.
Wow.
First, so we're going to talk about it.
Wow.
It is the WWE, more WWE releases.
Yo, has it only been a week?
Yes, it's been a week since True Heel Heat.
Has it only been a week?
Where we talked about the revival, where we talked about Mike and Maria Kanellis, we talked about Dolph Ziggler taking a break. I'm going to talk about Dolph Ziggler some more when we talk about
it. Yo, if you ain't a wrestling fan, right? Yo, you're missing some of the best interaction with wrestling right now if you're not a wrestling fan. This shit is awesome right now.
So the newest one is Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose has apparently told the WWE, he's given his notice. He is going to leave the WWE when his contract expires in April. He told the WWE out front. This news came out through Pro Wrestling Torch by Wade Keller, and that website, they came out with the news first, which was also reported by Wrestling Observer. And then, of all things, a shocker, WWE makes a public announcement. Yeah, very rare. WWE makes a public announcement and lets people know that Dean Ambrose gave his notice to the company and has given his notice that he's going to leave. And as well as that, in the same week, the very next day, Hideo Itami, which has been a very up and down roller coaster story here in WWE. Hideo Itami has given his release to the WWE and has been granted it. He has been granted his release from the WWE, and what a tragic story of Hideo Itami. But first, let's talk about Dean Ambrose. What was your guys' first thought when you heard this news?
Oh, well. Okay. The only thing I did think about was the Shield's dead. That's the only thing I thought about. The Shield is dead. That's literally the only consensus that came about that. And the fact that he gave his notice saying that he's not coming back in April, I don't give a fuck. I literally was on record saying Dean is trash. And Dean is trash. I don't give a fuck if, oh, he's not coming back. I hope AEW doesn't even sign him. Like, yo, I don't know. Dean is trash.
Have you ever seen John Moxley?
I've seen a little bit of John Moxley, but now he's older. He's in a different state of mind. I'm not sure if that guy can come back. He's not going to be the same hungry individual trying to strive to be great as he is now. Dude's got money. He's got a hot wife. He's got a good life. Where's that hunger coming from now? John Moxley is dead. Now all we literally have is Dean Ambrose or whatever the fuck his real name is.
Jonathan Good, because that's what the WWE put out in that release, which for those the real story is this a work or is this for real? What are your thoughts on that? That was
kind of my train of thought there, because if the WWE website posted that he's leaving in April, I felt like I was getting worked a bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is complete kayfabe to me. It's like, really? You're gonna tell us 2 months in advance before Mania that some guy wants to leave your company? It just doesn't work for me in that aspect, and I feel like this is gonna be part of the storyline later on, or for right now.
You know what?
And that's really what it is.
That's the politically correct answer, though. Like, everybody's got their kayfabe guards up. Oh, we're being worked. We're being worked. No! Leave!
The red flag to me was the fact that his real name was in the
release. Leave, bro!
To me, I feel like if it would have said Dean Ambrose is leaving the WWE, his contract expires in April, he's going to leave, then I feel like you're right. It is a work.
But take this into effect. All of the docu-series that they've been having on WWE Network and .com lately or whatever, it's they're specifying some of these wrestlers' real names anyways, and they're still with the company. So for me, it's one of those, they're taking all this reality era shit into account, what it is that the fans want and don't want, what they like and dislike, and they're pushing that fucking crap back down our throats. So at this point, if he leaves, hey, whatever. But if he doesn't, I won't be surprised.
All right. Do you think Dean Ambrose can get back to Jon Moxley? We know your thoughts on it. What do you think?
It's a completely different wrestler. That's a completely different character.
Bingo.
I haven't seen even a freaking slither of who he used to be.
You did see it when he was in the Shield. When he was in the Shield, that was a little bit of that Jon Moxley in him, and the rambling promos and the crazy promos and stuff like that. Where when he turned big, in my mind, the death nail for Dean Ambrose was the Shield split. Shield split, he should have been the guy to go heel. I'm not saying that I want to go back in time and change that, but for his career to reach the potential it should have in WWE, he should have been the guy that turned heel. By making him a babyface, they made him a hokey babyface, which he hates hokey material. That was in that release by PW Torch. And he's always seemed unmotivated because they've created this whole hokey babyface character around him. He's been babyface for 4 years. He just turned heel this, like, 6 months ago.
Ain't much else I can say about that, man. I mean, let's see what happens. But at the end of the day, that return of Jon Moxley, I don't see it, bro.
That was a great devil's advocate.
I'm just
comeback.
Saying,
I will give you credit. That was a really good devil's advocate comeback right there.
I've kind of been like 50-50 with the whole Dean Ambrose throughout his WWE career.
I'm 100-0.
I was very much on his side in the Shield, even after the Shield. I felt like he was a hot babyface. He had a very much of the vibes of an anti-hero. He was getting very loud pops. He was the guy the fans were behind, and I was behind him as well. But over time, it just felt like because they kept giving him this
stop, start, push, because they kept giving him this hokey material. Within weeks of him turning babyface, he came out with a hot dog truck and was spraying J&J security with ketchup and mustard. Like, they made him a hokey character, like, within months.
Agree, and I agree to that. But one, let me tell you what literally has completely turned me off on Dean Ambrose. His in-ring. He is absolute garbage in the ring. That's your opinion, and I haven't seen a good Dean Ambrose match since his intermediate decent matches with Dolph Ziggler. Dean Ambrose's matches has been utterly garbage. Complete trash. If you can give me some good Dean Ambrose matches, please correct me where I stand.
Post it in the comments.
But just let me know, because I haven't seen any that I can remember, recall, or imagine to see, and I wouldn't even look back on anything that he's done.
So what do you guys think, the Spotlight, True Heels Nation, what do you guys think about Dean Ambrose? Where do you think he's going to go? What do you think about this news? How about Top Guy JJ? I know your feelings, you don't want him to go anywhere else, but if you had to choose one place of where you see Dean Ambrose going, where do you see him
easily
going?
Easily All Elite. I mean, easily. I mean, it's easily because it's another a big American name. He's going to be a huge deal if he goes there. That's some serious star power. I'm not going to deny his star power. He is a star. So if he goes to All Elite, more eyeballs are definitely going to be going over there. And then on top of that, he can be a potential tag partner. He could be a building block to a whole nother division. There's a lot of things that they can do with him. But do I like him? No. But there are a lot of ways to use him. So I think AEW is his clear, obvious choice. He's not going to step all the way down to ROH. He's not going across the world to New Japan. He got a hot wife at home. He ain't doing that.
I feel you.
I don't agree with the All Elite thing, as a matter of fact. I feel like Jonathan Good, John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, he needs that freedom of creative. That AEW ship, the Young Bucks and everybody, I know they kind of play off of one another and whatnot, but from a storyline standpoint, some of this stuff is really hokey.
But they're giving more of that creative freedom, right, especially to their top stars, and that's what Ambrose would be coming into.
I would like to see him get a good run in TNA currently.
Impact.
Okay, that
I haven't heard a lot.
Because Impact is on the rise again from a product standpoint, I feel like he would be a good addition to their roster, obviously, because like JJ said, he's a star. You know, it keeps him local. He doesn't have to go overseas and stuff like that. And he can probably
and he's
have,
right there in Florida.
Right. Yeah. And he can have good matches with the majority of the roster. If they let him.
To your point.
And they would. And yeah, it seems like Impact, over the last year, they are giving their talent that opportunity to have great matches with each other. Me personally, I feel like AEW would be the number one choice. I do like Impact as a choice.
But
that's
his
one
point,
I haven't heard a lot.
To his point, he could be the Christian Cage signing.
Yeah.
To Impact.
And
he could be.
We were talking about that with
he
Chris
could
Jericho
be. Yeah.
showing
he could
up
be.
At Bound for Glory.
He could
so,
be.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I really like that actually as a choice, because that could be like their watershed moment.
I told you, ever since Jay News has joined the Drew Hills, he's actually grown some brains in the wrestling world. So I'm proud of you, man. You're getting there, man. You're proud of you.
Spotlight in Drew Hills.
Two comments. The Peruvian Pimp says that Dean had good matches with AJ.
He did in 2016. That was like 2 years ago.
Wait, what?
They did have good matches.
Yeah, they did.
That TLC match was very good.
Yeah, AJ did. I mean, there was a run for about a year and a half where AJ just had good matches with everybody.
That's also
true.
Anyone else?
And Nick Jackson agrees with SP3. He should have been healed from the jump. Even when he turned heel after the Roman left, they overcomplicated the story.
I think
they needed too much about, oh, I want to turn on Roman. When in my mind from the start, I've said this, it should have been about Dean not trusting Seth. That whole rivalry should have been about Dean not trusting Seth, not about him feeling that the Shield is holding him down, not to feel that he's got to be against Roman now.
Right.
It's all about Dean not trusting Seth. That follows along with the whole storyline they've been building for the last 4 years, and they completely shit the bed.
Yeah, this is one thing. This is one point that you have consistently come up that I can never argue with. I mean, I would never even try to debate it, because it's right from the jump. I mean, there's no way. There's no way Dean should have been the one left babyface forever. That shouldn't have happened. We all picked it, even from back in 2012, when we saw the Shield have their pretty decent match at WrestleMania 29. Like, who's the first one that should go? Everybody picked Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Everyone picked Dean Ambrose. And the curveball was Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Which happened to be a good one.
It was a great curveball, one of the best heel turns ever. Seth Rollins had a great year as a heel.
Yeah, he did.
A great two years as a heel. 2014, absolutely. 2015. He was tremendous as a heel, but Seth Rollins from the start could have been this great baby face that he is
now. Totally, totally.
So it's like
this is undebatable. Honestly, I would sound like a complete dick if I sit here and try to debate that, because Dean Ambrose sucks as a face, and right now he just sucks overall.
So I hope for Dean Ambrose. So what about Hideo Itami? I feel like a lot of people kind of downplay the Hideo Itami story, because when you talk about when these WWE fans talk about, you know, Kenny Omega coming over to WWE, they always talk about, oh, he could become the next AJ Styles. Look what they did with AJ Styles.
Right.
For what you guys don't understand when you say that is that for every AJ Styles, there's a Hideo Itami. Mm-hmm. Hideo Itami came in as one of the best wrestlers in the world. Over the last decade when he came into the WWE. And but whether it was injury, whether it was just getting lost in the shuffle, whether it was a new star coming in and taking the rub away from him, he just had, you know, misstep after misstep, obstacle after obstacle in front of him. And he is probably one of the most tragic stories of someone who was one of the best wrestlers in the world to come to WWE. Right. Because he came in NXT when it was Balor, Balor, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Neville were like the five big stars where they were like, these are the guys we're going to build NXT around. He had his injury right after being in the Royal Rumble. I mean, in WrestleMania, in the Andre the Giant Memorial in WrestleMania 31.
Right.
He gets injured. He gets down for, I think, 9 months. He comes back. He gets injured again. He had a little run with Austin Aries. And I think like right after that, Austin Aries left. So then he had to like find something else. He turns heel, has a good match with Aleister Black at TakeOver Brooklyn. Yeah. We witnessed that one. Then he comes over to 205 Live, and it just seems like I tried to predict him to win the Cruiserweight Championship at the Royal Rumble, because it felt like they were giving him something, but it just seemed like misstep after misstep. And I don't know where he goes, but what was your thoughts when you heard about Hideo Itami?
I mean, It's difficult, right? Because like you said, the injuries piled up. Creative wasn't there for him. He's one of the top wrestlers in the world the last decade or so. I've always had this belief. It might just sound biased and whatnot. There are certain stars from certain parts of the world, and I'm not trying to put them in a box, but it's like, yo, they just don't belong in the WWE product. They just don't. There's nothing for them in it. I mean, it happened. It's been happening for freaking 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, you know, we can say the same thing about Shinsuke. You know what I'm saying? And Hideo Itami is just another freaking example of a big star in Japan who came over to America who couldn't do anything with what he was given. Now he's been having tremendous matches within the last month on 205 Live, but to what avail at this point? You know what I'm saying? He wants to leave. He was granted his release. There's no more Noah. So at the end of the day, he's got to go to New Japan.
Noah's back. So Noah's back, so he can go and try to build up Noah again.
Here's the deal. The two biggest Japanese wrestling companies at this point are New Japan Pro Wrestling and Dragon Gate.
Or All Japan.
Those three. So he can do... I mean, Neville versus Kenta wouldn't be a good match to watch.
That would be great. I love that.
So I think if he were to go over to Dragon Gate or All Japan, where he spent the latter part of his career...
Yeah.
He can do good things over there, but he needs to get motivated, dude. He does not look motivated at all. Look at it. If you look at it, and this might sound a little iffy, but at the end of the day, I think you can always think about it from a mental standpoint. Look at his body in comparison to what it looked like when he came into the company.
You're absolutely
right. He has no motivation behind what he's doing now. So it's like, what am I looking at? You know?
It's true. What were your thoughts?
So, a lot of good points here about J-News, but when I think of Hideo Itami, I literally think of two other names that has been just as unfortunate as he has been in the WWE. Two names I think of instantly is Sin Cara and Chris Sabin. Like, those two and those three, I say in general, has been so hindered with injuries. Mm-hmm. Anytime relevant seem to hit them, they get hit with a severe injury.
Yeah.
And this happened with Chris Sabin multiple times with multiple torn ACLs. This happened with Sin Cara with multiple torn ACLs. It seemed they had this spotlight on them, and they were actually on the road to getting something good. and then injury hits them hard, hard. 1 year long injury. Hideo Itami's injury was 18 months. Guys, in the world of professional wrestling, 18 months is like 5 years. Like, it's so hard to recover from these injuries and all of a sudden just hotshot over people that has been busting their ass for the past 2 years, gaining relevance, gaining names, and then just gonna plug them right back into the story. It's almost like in a wrestling fan's mind, we don't trust their durability. It's almost like it takes a while for us to really trust them. So even the second time where Hideo Itami came back, and he came back in Brooklyn, he got a loud pop, but then it just died. It just died. And it was more of, we don't trust him. And then you could see it in his wrestling style. His wrestling style even dummied down a lot because of how injured he was always getting. And how, so, like, dude, if y'all see that scar on his shoulder, that shit is nothing to play with.
It's ugly,
like,
man.
I deal with a shoulder problem as well. And just knowing that at any moment, your shit can just fuck up. It can just get ruined. You can't land a certain way. You can't pick up somebody a certain way. There's so many aspects to their injuries. Same thing with Saban. Same thing with Sin Cara. Like, it just basically hit Sin Cara so bad, he just stopped wrestling.
Well, he came, went to Mexico. Yeah. He's having a revival now
But it's taken, like, how long has it taken?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the same thing with Chris Sabin. Like, Chris Sabin, dude, like, remember, Chris Sabin was in the title picture before his injury struck. And then his came back to back, and now he had to get relegated back to Motor City Machine Guns. He was,
but those guys are cursed, man. And
that's what I mean. Like, it's so sad. It is
freaking sad because Alex Shelley should have had a career like no other wrestler, and he just couldn't get off the injury reserve.
Right, and that's what I feel about them.
It's just fucking sad. I agree with you, man. There's just no way.
What do you guys think to spotlight True Heels, Tommy or Dean Ambrose leaving the WWE?
Oh, lots of consensus about Kenta. Anthony Carragher says, Tommy was doomed from the start. Injuries set him back, and there was always someone to keep him at the back of the line, like Balor, Black, etc.
Yep.
Nick Jackson wasn't surprised by Hideo asking for the release. He just doesn't fit in WWE. Great wrestler, though. And True Heel Maurice, Hideo Itami had no chance in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's injuries. Like these guys said, I feel like it's a lot about to do with the injuries, but it's another thing, like Jay New said, it's the Mexican and Japanese stars don't do that well.
They don't translate that well.
They do great. They are major stars in where they're from, but then they come to WWE and they can't get that same type
bunch
of
bunch of solid points.
Yeah.
One more, Chris Gutierrez says, same thing happened to Bad News Barrett.
It's true. It's true.
To an extent,
with the injuries, he was always just kept back in general. Yeah. Every time he got over, whether it was as a heel or babyface, he just always got kept back. It wasn't really the injuries for me in that case.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So our next topic is something that just happened last night in Atlanta, Georgia. It was an independent wrestling pay-per-view on Fight TV. The main event was the Lucha Brothers versus SCU. Lucha Brothers is the current Impact and current Major League Wrestling Tag Team Champions. They were successful against SCU in that main event match. And then after the match, the vice presidents, the executive vice presidents of All Elite Wrestling, the Young Bucks, came out and made another special surprise appearance at an indie event. But this time, it wasn't to save Joey Ryan. No, it was to come out and confront Pentagon and Phoenix. They thanked them for what they have done for tag team wrestling, putting it on the map, main eventing show after show across the country. And they said they want them to be a part of All Elite Wrestling. Some local talent came out and tried to disrupt this. SCU, the Lucha Brothers, and the Young Bucks were successful in dispatching them. And then after that, it was Pentagon and Phoenix that shook the hands of the Young Bucks, making it official that they will be working with All Elite Wrestling. We don't have any details on if it's an exclusive deal, if it's going to be like a per date sort of deal, but we do know that Pentagon and Phoenix, the Lucha Brothers, have signed with All Elite Wrestling. According to Chris Jericho, it is an exclusive contract. But I just can't. I'm just interested. Chris Jericho's already gone out on Twitter and started an angle with the Lucha Brothers.
Chris Jericho
immediately. Immediately. He said, they're not like my Mexican idols. Those caras. And Phoenix
Jericho
and Pentagon said they're bringing the old school back.
Jericho's amazing.
What do you guys think of the Lucha Brothers signing with All Elite Wrestling? And do you think this is the biggest signing All Elite Wrestling have made so far?
Biggest signing? So, I mean, from a tag team standpoint, if they're going to stay a tag team, then yeah, because it was just the Bucks. So, I'm just fans of those guys as individuals. It's me being a fan of Lucha Underground and being able to watch these guys from a week in and week out basis has been tremendous for me for the last 3 years or so. And just being able to watch their in-ring, let alone the characterization of each one as heels, faces, whatever have you. It's like these guys are tremendous talents for the wrestling business. So for AEW to want to have them in the company, that's a fucking plus, man. It's a fucking plus.
What do you think?
Absolutely, I will say that's their second best signing because I'm not budging off of the Chris Jericho. To me, Chris Jericho is their hugest signing. Just because you didn't know what Chris Jericho was really going to do, was he truly going to sign? The fact that they actually got that man to sign, biggest signing by far. He is their superstar of the brand. But as far as wrestlers, yes, that's their best signing as far as wrestlers. Because that everybody else was expected. Everybody else was very, very much expected, except the Pac one.
Yeah.
But as far as a group, and you can actually, at some point, they can be individuals. Mm-hmm. Pentagon and Phoenix are fucking fantastic. They are special. Oh, my God. Like, get a chance to watch Pentagon if you haven't seen him in the ring. Like, Phoenix, you can see a lot of replicas of him, you know, across the wrestling world as far as how the Lucha Libres go. But Pentagon is something special.
Yeah.
Pentagon is something special. And the fact that they were able to land him, and if he's exclusive, that is huge. That is a huge sign for AEW.
To follow up what these guys are saying, I feel like, I won't say it's the biggest. I agree with top guy JJ. Chris Jericho is the biggest signing because he's got that star power that makes them legitimate. But as far as the most versatile signing that mm-hmm. they made, this is number one. Because
right.
you get a tag team that can potentially main event your shows, that can have anywhere between 3 to 6 months of the Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers. I'll be good. You can give me that on 3 different pay-per-views, have a best-of-7 series. I will love every match of that because those two styles would just make successful matches. You got SCU. You got the guys from OWE. So the tag team division is starting to take shape in All Elite Wrestling. But not only that, like Top Guy JJ was saying, you have two stars on their own. You have Rey Fénix, which is pound for pound, mm-hmm. one of the best wrestlers and high flyers in professional wrestling. And then you have Pentagon, who is one of the best characters and the star power and the uniqueness of Pentagon. It just gives you so much versatility of a sign. And that's why I like this signing a lot for All Elite.
How about the revival coming in the fall? See,
starting
now
to,
the things is building.
Yes.
So it's yeah, there you go. So let it build, and then you have so much pressure on the E. The revival is gonna put the pressure on them because then let them get at least 2 more tag teams.
To bring up another tag team, just recently came out the news was Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. They've gone out
the Good Brothers.
The Good
Brothers, exactly.
Have gone out and tried to trademark their names. Basically, Carl Anderson tried to trademark Carl Anderson. The WWE also put in a trademark for that, but he's also successfully put in a trademark for Machine Gun. Luke Gallows put in a successful trademark for Doc Gallows. And they both put in a trademark for Botch Club with Gallows and Anderson, as well as Talk and Shop, which is their former podcast that they used to do. So this is a new development. Their deal is about to expire here in 2019 because Shinsuke, AJ, and the Good Brother signed a 3-year deal. Recently just came out that AJ has re-signed finally. But Shinsuke Nakamura and the Good Brothers, we haven't had any confirmation that they have re-signed yet. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think about All Elite Wrestling, the Lucha Brothers signing, and the shaping of their whole tag division and roster? True Heels, stop spotlight? Yeah.
Well, Nick Jackson says, Pentagon and Phoenix are incredible as singles and tag wrestlers. Their best signing ability-wise.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I agree with that.
Second.
With that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nick Jackson, Bruno AB, and Maurice Williams say, SCU!
SCU! SCU!
Yes, that tag team division is shaping up. I'm liking what All Elite Wrestling is doing bit by bit, and I really like these surprise independent appearances. Earlier in that night, at last night's show, Cody and Hangman Page saved Joey Ryan, and Joey Ryan put it out on Instagram. He said, I'm not saying that if you book me for a show that All Elite Wrestling will show up. I'm just saying that it happened again last night. So, Joey Ryan, if you see Joey Ryan on an independent wrestling show in your area, you might just want to go out there. You just might. Just might. So, our last bit of top news is another person who seems to be leaving the company they've been a part of for so long. Kushida, one of the pound-for-pound wrestlers out of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the junior ace, the former six-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, had his farewell match this week on the 29th against the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi, in a very technical mat-based matchup that Tanahashi won. Kushida had his formal farewell to the New Japan crowd, and now Kushida looks to be off to WWE and the NXT brand. What do you guys think about Kushida's entire run in New Japan and his chances in the WWE?
So if I may just go back a little bit, just I am begging that Gallows and Anderson get the fuck out of those contracts. I am begging for that. Like, those are the two of the most underappreciated dudes in the entire E. Like, I just want them out. That would be, AEW would do them justice. That's all I think about with the Good Brothers. Now, with Kushida, I kind of feel like his run, it was good, but I think it could have been a little bit better. Like, I think it could have been a little bit more. He is a very, very talented individual, very charismatic, very character heavy. I mean, you saw glimpses of it, if anybody saw Wrestle Kingdom, just to see how you can just play around with his character and just, there's things that could have happened with him. I think they could have been a little bit more creative and done more with Kushida and give him a little bit of a bigger push. But, you know, things happen. Kenny Omega's happen. Naito's happen. Jericho's happen. Tag teams happen. All of these things happen, and sometimes you kind of fall through the cracks. You know, Juice Robinson catches a hot year. Switchblade gets hot. True. So everybody, just
Zach
sometimes.
Sabre Jr.
Yeah, so Zach said, oh my God, the second half of 2018 was Zack Sabre's year. But going to do well in NXT. I think he's going to come out, get a big pop. He's going to get the holy shits at Full Sail and give it about a month. He's going to be regular. He's going to be a regular guy getting thrown in fatal four-way matches, getting thrown in these regular matches, and 6 months later, probably SummerSlam week, he'll probably end up on 205 Live.
Yeah, it's a scary proposition, but it doesn't seem unlikely. What about you? What was your thoughts?
I mean, the word has been that he's going to go to NXT. Honestly, I don't see a place for him on NXT, to be quite honest.
Well, they do have to fill a hole with Hideo Itami.
I get it, but Hideo Itami was over on freaking 205 Live. So
with NXT, I was thinking of 205 Live more.
I think that the his path is geared towards 205 Live.
Yeah.
But to speak on his run, I think he had a solid run in New Japan. I mean, I didn't know he was as old as he is. He's 36 years old, so that probably gives him, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, that's why he's making this move right now.
And that's part one. But part two of it is he had a great run in New Japan. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion 6 times. I think that was overdone quite a bit. Him being champion that many times, I don't think should have happened.
What do you think about the news that he proposed him turning heel and joining the Bullet Club?
I would have been
turned it down.
I would have enjoyed seeing him play the other side. Because he was a face his whole entire time there.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole Back to the Future motif and all that stuff. It was cool to watch, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, let him do something different. Like, Nakamura did different shit when he was there.
Exactly. You know, Nakamura evolved throughout his
movie. I mean, even Tana now. Yeah. You look at Tanahashi, what he's doing, it's like, you know, it's...
Tata evolved, Okada evolved.
Like, everybody's evolved. They didn't let the kid evolve. They don't really let the junior heavyweights do much.
That's true.
In New Japan.
That is true.
I think... You know, for him to do something else or something different creatively, come to the States is a plus, but is he going to be used correctly?
The only thing that's a plus is his paycheck.
Right?
That's
it. He's traveling
that's
the world.
It. That's it.
That's his main reason for going. He wants to travel the world.
He can travel the world without the E, though.
We all not like see the aftermath.
You're out there 300 nights a year.
But do you want to be out there 300 nights a year?
He wants to experience it. This is why Shinsuke Nakamura made this move. They want this experience. That's why I think it's good news that we haven't heard that Shinsuke Nakamura has re-signed, because I feel like he was able to experience traveling the world, getting that American experience, being a star here. And now I feel like he's getting to that point where he sees the writings on the wall and he sees that he can go back to New Japan right now and become and be like the returning legend, the returning star back to New Japan. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going to be something that we talk about more on future True Heel Heat. But that I feel like Kushida needs him. So did. I feel like it's going to be good coming in for Kushida. I feel like his run throughout NXT is going to be good. But once it hits that point where there is nothing else for him to do in NXT, that's the scary part for me.
205 Live, and then your life is over.
Is he going to be billed as a junior heavyweight, as a cruiserweight, coming in the door? Like
I don't think he's going to be built as a cruiserweight, because they don't do that. Because you look at someone like Ricochet, who's critical wrestling submission work-wise, I feel like Kushida's one of the best in the world. And I don't, outside of like a Matt Riddle or a Pete Dunne, I don't really know anybody else in NXT that focuses on that type of style of wrestling. So let's hear from the spotlight in the True Heels about Kushida.
Backtracking a bit, Bruno AB agrees with JJ. He could see a great rivalry between the club and the Lucha Bros.
I agree with you there.
Get the good brothers out, yo. Keep pushing for them trademarks. Keep pissing Vince off, y'all. Keep it up.
True Heel Fausto up in the cut.
Hey.
He says, Kushida will be bigger than Kenta, but not quite Shinsuke.
I can see that. I can see him falling right in the middle. I don't think he's going to be a guy that gets injured a lot, so I can see him falling in the middle where he can't reach that Nakamura type of
real power. Quick, True Heel Fausto. My Fausto?
Your Fausto.
Steez.
Steez.
Real Steez.
Real quick, brother. Happy belated birthday. Shout outs to you. Thanks for the commentary. Woo! And I disagree with your Kushida shit. Anyways,
happy birthday, bro. Happy birthday.
Why do you disagree?
Nah, man. I just feel like he's going to get lost in the sauce, man. That's just me. Hakushi. Fucking Kenta. Fucking.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, Jesus
Christ. Damn, he went back on that one. Oh,
I mean, show my age, right? Wow. I'm talking about Hakushi. Woo!
All right. So if that's all from True Heels and Spotlight, that's all for top news. So we're going to get into what we've missed. And we had a big Royal Rumble weekend. We kicked off Royal Rumble weekend on Saturday with NXT TakeOver Phoenix. And a bunch of big news coming out.
Did we really just go through a whole top news without a Kenny mention?
Without a Kenny mention? With his contract expiring yesterday.
It expired yesterday and we didn't mention nothing about Kenny? Oh my God, we're failing, guys.
Because we're going to talk about Kenny more on True Heel Heat 26. Because on True Heel Heat 26...
I thought he was like the LeBron James of wrestling right now.
We will know where Kenny Omega resides after True Heel Heat 26. Word. Because if you saw the countdown clock on BTE, 9 days from the day that BTE came out is February 7th. Where February 7th is going to be the All Elite Wrestling ticket announcement party. So one way or another on that date, we will find out where Kenny Omega goes. Those WWE fans who are... got their fingers crossed.
He's going to show up at the chamber.
He's going to show up.
He's going to show up at the chamber.
He's going to show
he's
gonna up.
He's going to be at the chamber.
He's going to confront.
He's going to be at the chamber.
Daniel
he's
going to be. Because
nobody's
chamber.
Challenged Daniel yet. Yeah, so exactly. It's going to be Kenny.
Exactly.
And here, for your producer, your salty ass, you want to sit there and keep crying and shit. Because right behind you, you know, you're salty, you know. We got the tears right there, you know, cover them tip real quick, you know.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
you guys should just calm down. Take some more of the hemp pipe and calm down about the Kenny rule.
All I see is I keep seeing our producer keep turning his back even though a window is behind him.
Because he's looking for Bruno AB. But yes, we got to talk about TakeOver Phoenix. It was a fantastic show, as TakeOvers tend to do. But the big news out of it is, of course, we got a new NXT Tag Team Champions, the War Raiders, in a great match. The opener of NXT TakeOver, which seems to be a theme. You put Undisputed Era in a tag team match to kick off a TakeOver, it's always going to be a great match. And once again, they did it. But this time, the War Raiders were successful in becoming the new NXT Tag Team Champions. The big one, the match of the night in my mind, was Gargano versus Ricochet for the NXT North American Championship. One of the best matches I've seen at a TakeOver event ever. And Johnny Gargano finally wins a singles title in NXT. Finally. And we ended the night with Ciampa defeating Black and DIY as your North American and NXT World Champions. What was your thought on TakeOver Phoenix? What was your match of the night? Who was your MVP?
TakeOver Phoenix was a really, really good show. I will say that. But I've been seeing a little bit of ramblings. Was it the best TakeOver ever? Absolutely not. Hell no. But it was a really solid show. Three of the matches was really, really good. I will give it that. Three of the matches was very, very good. But that Gargano and Rick, this just finally happened. It finally happened, guys. The match that we said would be the match of the weekend was finally the match of the weekend. It finally happened. Finally nailed it. That was the match of the weekend, and it really was a thing of beauty. Like, that was two guys out there giving it their all. It was a hell of a match, and finally the story ended with Gargano, finally. And I love the sentiment the camera caught him. I win. I love that spot. I win. Finally planted Ricochet with that over-the-top snap DDT and just finally
followed the brainbuster on the concrete.
Took it home. Like, I was so happy to get that wrong. I was so happy to get that wrong because finally Gargano got a big, big win at a TakeOver. Finally.
Finally, after some time, and in my mind, Johnny Gargano once again was the MVP of NXT TakeOver. What did you think about the ending with Ciampa and Gargano standing tall as the new NXT, Gargano the new NXT North American champion and Ciampa the new NXT champion? Where do you see the story going now?
And sorry if I didn't answer your question before. As far as the MVP, I definitely obviously had to be Johnny Gargano. Finally,
again,
take it.
Johnny
finally.
TakeOver.
Finally. Yes.
I mean, where does the story go from here? I don't know. To be quite honest, they're both
motherfucker.
They're both champs.
The fuck, Bing.
They're not gonna go against one another, right? They're not unifying any championships at this
point. It was a moment.
They may.
It was a moment. Oh, they tagging up on halftime heat.
Right. They're gonna be on the same side of the. Can I say something about that real quick? Halftime heat. That's a big fucking deal.
20 years in the making.
It's a big fucking deal because it's NXT and not the main roster.
Yes.
And those guys are going to be on the fucking clock for 15 minutes, put on a show or lose it. And they got the right guys to be on that. They got the right guys for that fucking match, I think. And I think that's going to be a hell of a 15 minutes for us to be watching. But to get back to your point. Where does it go? I think Johnny Gargano is going to be the heel for the mid-carders, obviously.
Damn, I'm done.
And wow. and Ciampa's going to be the heel champ for the guys on the top of the card.
I don't know how long Johnny Gargano is going to be
these guys, man.
This is still story building, and I'm
this shit is bomb, by the way.
I'm interested to see where the story goes next with Ciampa and Gargano. That also with Halftime Heat, I feel like that's big news, and it's another petty Vince move, just taking shots at Maroon 5, but also a little...
That was actually a great troll job.
It was a great troll job.
That was a great troll job.
Big news coming out of the NXT TV taping.
Uh-oh.
If you do not like spoilers, you can pause, rewind, fast forward for like 2 minutes, all right? Give you 10 seconds. So our new or not.
That was like three, but.
Yeah. A new or not. I'm building up to it. Our new or not North American champion is actually the Velveteen Dream. At the NXT TV taping, they apparently filmed two endings to the match between Velveteen Dream and Johnny Gargano. The first ending being Velveteen Dream hitting his rolling DVD and then the Purple Rainmaker to become the new NXT North American champion. As he's celebrating, he comes out of the ring. Johnny Gargano attacks him, puts him back into the ring, attacks him. Velveteen Dream gets the upper hand, goes for the Purple Rainmaker again. Gargano changes it into the Gargano Escapes. Dream taps out, and then Gargano leaves with the NXT North American Championship. I gotta give it to WWE because we always shit on WWE. That was genius. Genius. Genius to film two.
Swerve me!
Swerve them.
Swerve me!
Now we don't know what the ending is. So that was great job by WWE.
Well, they finally got the taste of doing TV right, right? So at the end of the day, they don't have to just placate to the wrestling fan. You're doing TV the way TV does TV. So that's great on their part. I mean, the Velveteen Dream as the freaking North American champion would be great too.
Absolutely.
I mean, the man's been asking for the call up and he ain't got it, so they got to make him do something, right?
Yeah, give him a title. I feel like he needs a run. I don't think he's ready quite yet to go to the main roster, and I don't trust the main roster.
Touché. Because, dude, if they do with Velveteen Dream what they're doing to EC3 on the main roster,
let's not get into that.
That man has been on TV for 2 weeks and he's looked at a mirror for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's what you sign up for.
So that's the difference between Vince taking care of you and then Trips taking care of you.
It happens to them all.
Jesus. Save EC3 already. He hasn't even been on TV fully yet, and he's already getting fucked over.
Can I just say one thing about EC3? I had this idea when he signed to NXT. What the fuck for? What the fuck for?
You want to make more money than you're making.
You know what?
Dude, look.
He's not your cup of tea, and that's fine.
The WWE is always going to throw more money your way. But your point as a professional wrestler is to gain the exposure. Dude, you've been on TNA for how long?
He gained the exposure, and now he's got a bigger deal in WWE. This made sense to me.
That made all the sense to me, too.
The whole reason he went to Impact was now
you're getting back to being stupid.
No.
Building up Impact. No. If you thought that, then I don't know what you would think.
The exposure part is what I'm talking about. He's not going to get the exposure on the WWE stage that he feels.
Oh,
that.
So he got it all on Impact?
Yeah.
He got a major spotlight in Impact.
He got a major spotlight on Impact.
But it's not, that to everyone. It's sometimes it's about the money. It's about getting a bigger paycheck.
Getting that paycheck, brother.
Brother, if you wanted to go get your paycheck, go ahead. But at the end of the day.
That's what he did.
At the end of the day, you being mad at the fact that he's looking at a mirror for 2 weeks, that's what he signed up for. That's what he signed up for, bro.
Yeah, I don't think when he got that contract,
that's what he signed up for.
He was made aware that his first month on TV, he was going to be told at a mirror. Like, dude, no. No one has been told that. And said, I'm game. No one has been told that.
But he wanted the money, that though, right? You getting paid top dollar.
Is that your door?
Yeah. Yo, door. Door?
Was that the door?
Door? All right, go. Let's check, let's check that out. Check anyways, we're still filming. But, no. So anyways, it was, for me, what the fuck for scenario. I didn't understand why he signed with NXT, more for the exposure part of it, the use of him. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, dude, you're Derek Bateman.
I mean, he was never going to get past Derek Bateman, but I understood the move from jump. It was all about getting more money.
He already
got the exposure from Impact, so it wasn't about that anymore. If you already got it, it's done, it's over with, so you got to move on.
Yo, you really got some bitter bones with Derek Bateman, EC3, man. Like, what's up with that?
To your point, JJ, he's not my cup of tea. He's just not. But I can.
He's not a lot of people's cup of tea.
I got what? Who got what?
I got the flat noodles, the dark noodles with chicken.
Right here?
Yeah.
Like noodles.
See what I'm doing with here?
Can I see that?
This looks like
that's chicken too.
This looks like some sweaty dog shit. But go ahead.
You see what I'm dealing with?
Yeah, this is mine.
Like, what is this?
Wait, let me see.
Like, where is this?
Different.
What the fuck?
This is yours, sir. This is yours.
Like, what are y'all getting?
You see what I'm dealing with here, people?
Like, this
You got this one?
Ragoon? What?
Is this what this is?
That's a shrimp.
Like,
a
what they bring?
Shrimp tempura.
Wait. This is how y'all celebrate the 25th anniversary of True Hill Heat? Y'all sit here and get this dog snot as food? Like, what the fuck is it? Oh my god, you guys are killing me. You guys are killing me.
But, back to what
steak? Can I see some steak? Like, can I see some...
You're trying to kill another steak?
I thought you were
down with the Planet's Champion. You're sitting up, you're sipping out a plastic straw. You're talking about getting...
You're
eating healthy.
I want Ashley to come through, bro. Give me Ashley right here on the plate.
Daisy.
No, that was Daisy. That was...
Poor Daisy.
Daisy was the WWE Championship. Abby was my man Larry Steak. I want Ashley
right here. Y'all coming up with this shit.
It's Thai food?
So we're going to get to your comments and questions in a bit.
Look at the Thai ice too.
Oh, me.
My God.
Me. Oh, my God. Me. What the fuck? Does this shit got milk in it?
This man could not do it all at once. He couldn't do it all at once.
Here you go, good brothers.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
He couldn't
appreciate
do it all at once.
Appreciate
so
it.
We're going to get to your comments and questions in a bit.
Yo, our producer's turned from a fighter to a concierge. He's sitting here serving people. Like, yo. What did you turn him into? He was a fighter, SP. Now you just turned him into someone that serves you food? What has happened to this man?
We're going to get to your comments.
He was the 1 pound of gold champion. He was the 1 pound of gold champion. Now he's bringing you dog shit.
We're going to go on to the Big Show over the weekend.
How is it?
I just can't.
Really good?
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
The Big Show over the weekend.
And then then he brings tea with milk.
It's Thai iced tea, bro. I mean, come on now.
Yo, get a real man's drink, man.
First of all,
you need
I don't
to be
even
more
know
culturally
you
sensitive.
How? Right? How? He got the same fickle plastic with the same fickle straw.
First of
and
all.
And he has a milk from a cow.
Biodegradable.
And he has a cow inside his drink.
First
he has
of
a
all,
cow in there.
First of all.
He has an animal. He has Kevin inside his cup right now.
You're a disciple of Daniel Bryan. I can care less about that shit right now. I'm hungry.
I've considered myself fickle, and I've apologized to Daniel Bryan on air, and you sit here come with a cow in your cup. There's a cow in your cup.
Cow in my cup. There's a chicken in my plate.
Unfucking believable. With dog shit in your plate. With plastic bowls.
Yeah.
Continue.
Are y'all done?
Yeah.
I've been done.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the Royal Rumble. Before we move on, let's hear your comments and questions about TakeOver and these two fools.
Lack of professionalism.
Yes, the total lack of professionalism.
Eating food during a podcast because I'm hungry. Listen, I am the resident True Hill alcoholic. Everyone knows that. I am not sitting here stuffing my face. I sit
You're
here
sipping out of a plastic straw.
And he has a cow in his cup. A cow!
True Hill spot.
He has an animal in his cup!
Save us, please.
There's
please
bok choy in this.
Save me.
Bok choy?
Yo,
Shit. Oh, the real Stings says, how could EC3 not come out at number 3 in the Rumble in his debut?
That would have been great. That would have been great. If you're not going to have Perfect 10 come out at number 10, you're right, Steez. You should have had EC3 at number 3. Anything else?
Some comments that we can skip from Bruno, but whatever.
Wait. That's so disrespectful. Say what Bruno said. God damn it.
They have been deleted. You can continue.
So, we got to move on to the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble was
the you know what? That's what I got. That's what. So, my man Bruno said, who's that girl that just walked out of the room?
Good one, Bruno.
Yo, Shorty got a beard, bro.
Anyway.
Yo, he gonna get mistaken from the chick from GameStop. Hey, sir. No, that's ma'am. That's ma'am. He called me a sir. That's ma'am.
We gotta talk about the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble was a 7-hour show, so a lot was going down. You had 3 shows on the kickoff show.
The sleep was real after that.
Including a new United States champion in Shinsuke Nakamura and a tremendous fatal 4-way between Kalisto, Hideo Itami, who was his final pay-per-view appearance, Akira Tozawa, and the champion who retained, Buddy Murphy. But what a show Royal Rumble was.
Act like that plane ain't yours.
Oh, that is mine.
So you're just as fickle because you got a plastic straw. You got...
I don't have a plastic straw.
A plastic fork. You got a plastic fork.
There's a difference.
You got a plastic fork. You got a plastic spoon. You got non-recyclable paper towels. You got plastic in your...
I'm not using the paper towels.
You got plastic all over the place. Would you comment on my one plastic cup? You got plastic all over this bitch.
You are the one that is up here saying, I'm the planet's champion supporter, and you're sipping out of a plastic straw. You are ridiculous.
But this is recycled.
No, it's not.
7-Eleven uses all recycled materials.
You are bullshitting it. Hypocritical.
I call myself fickle. I've called myself fickle, but y'all literally loaded the entire fucking table of plastic, metal, and he's eating on air. And the producer is feeding himself. There's a bunch of people literally eating on Drew Hill Heat 25. Everybody's eating.
Yo, what the fuck? It's a feast for Drew Hill Heat. It's like a fucking Thanksgiving edition of Drew Hill Heat.
For
the Drew Hill Nation, we're here in New York. This came from Spice, which is a Thai restaurant up around LA. Around here, this would be considered Drew Hill Studios, right? This is Drew Hill Studios. So just so y'all know, go to Spice, check it out. It's good food.
So there's plastic forks, there's plastic spoons, there's plastic knives, there's non-recyclable tissue.
I'm just waiting for this to get back on the rails. It's been off the rails.
And then on top of that, they've used metal.
Okay. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble
now. Non-recycled.
Yes, let's talk about the Royal Rumble now. So there was two Royal Rumble matches. The first one was the Women's Royal Rumble, and we predicted Charlotte Flair to win, and like we talked about earlier in the show, Becky Lynch was victorious in the Women's Royal Rumble. The two matches that stole the show in my eyes was Ronda Rousey. Rewind. Oh, man. Our Lord and Savior. UFC Hall of Famer.
I'm eating, got
that. The baddest woman on the planet.
I'm having a meal.
And you're reigning,
defending, undisputed, Raw Women's Champion.
But I got one more for you. The number one reason why there will be an all-women's main event at WrestleMania 35.
Reach. Rowdy. Ronda. Rousey.
Defeated Jay News's greatest women's wrestler of all time, Sasha Banks.
I'm going to open my cup so all them tears can fall into it. I'm going to open it up so all them crybabies can fall. All them tears can fall right into that cup, including his. Including his. Because this bitch was crying the whole night.
Ain't nobody crying.
Ronda's so overrated. Ronda, oh God. What happened when Ronda put on the best match of the Royal Rumble? Ronda had the best match of the Royal Rumble. Let's talk about it. You don't have to agree with it. The consensus agree with it, and I agree with it, and people at Jabba Slam 3 agree with it. Ronda and Sasha was the best match of the night.
They actually led the poll on WWE.com.
Ronda, Sasha was the best match of the night.
Ronda and Sasha, huh?
But follow, very close second, which is debatable. Which was Becky and Asuka.
Becky and Asuka was
the
a great
women,
match.
The women, shout outs to the ladies. They held down the Rumble as I predicted that both women's matches was going to be way better than that shit that happened on NXT TakeOver, which is completely why I downgraded TakeOver Phoenix, because that women's match between Shayna Baszler and the best, the EST, was fucking garbage until that last 2 minutes where Bianca did a great, great job by Bianca. Bianca helped save that match. She helped save it by selling the shit out of being resilient. Props to Bianca for that.
For a minute there, I was going to call you Sam Roberts.
Props to Bianca. She made the crowd feel it and believe her selling abilities in that match. She rocked that shit out.
Disrespectful to Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler was fucking trash.
What was your thoughts on the women's matches at the Royal Rumble? Let's stay on the actual topic, unlike this drunk asshole.
So first things first, ain't no tears going in nobody's big gulp. That's one. Two,
There's a cow in your cup. Shut the fuck up. There's a cow in your cup.
I have to sit here and apologize.
Barbara is in your cup right now.
I have to apologize sincerely to Sasha Banks because last week on True Heel Heat, I made a mistake.
Yeah, you called her the greatest wrestler of all time.
It wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. I forgot.
My cup is filling up with tears.
I forgot.
It's filling up.
The day we shot True Heel Heat, it was Sasha Banks' birthday.
Oh, who cares?
Sasha Banks, my mistake, my apologies for not giving you a birthday shout out because it was needed and it was necessary, and I apologize for that. As for the match, as a matter of fact, we're wrestling fans, right? No bullshit. It takes two people to have a real good match now, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right?
Both of them had good chemistry with each other. They made it feel like a real fight.
Actually, I was surprised about that, to be quite honest. And I actually hold the Becky and Asuka match a little bit higher than theirs.
I do as well. I feel like the Becky and Asuka match was a more smoother match. Yeah. It was very mat based, but at the same time, it also gave that little like fight feel where it was like back and forth. And one person never had the upper hand over the other person for too long, and that's why I preferred the Becky and Asuka match a little bit more. But like JJ said, the women took the show.
They
had the two best matches in the night. They had the better Royal Rumble.
That's our consensus.
They had the better Royal Rumble match in my eyes.
To the fucking ladies.
And they had the ladies. They had the longest Royal Rumble match in history because they kept missing the time on the spots because WWE and them did not time out the running to the ring enough, and they were missing the time on spots. And we were actually saying that watching it live. We was like, is this really 90 seconds?
It wasn't.
They actually had like 2 minutes for certain ones, 2.5 minutes for other ones, and that's why it went 71 minutes, which is ridiculous.
And how many nostalgia acts the women had for the night?
Zero.
Nostalgia, zero. Men, number two, they start nostalgia.
And I felt like that was a good one. The Alliance.
Fuck out of here.
You always got to have your nostalgia act in there, and I felt like it was fun.
Fuck wanted to see Jeff Jarrett?
No one. But I didn't think the men's Royal Rumble was bad. I didn't think the men's Royal Rumble was bad, but I felt like it was not. It's not as good as last year's.
Men's Rumble was fucking awful.
It was a middle of the road Rumble. I'm happy about the winner, Seth Rollins winning.
That was the best result.
Definitely the best thing. And who stole the show in the men's Royal Rumble? A woman again! Nia fucking Jax!
She's not like most girls!
Oh my god, Nia Jax in the Royal Rumble made the last 10 minutes the most
What she did to Mustafa Alito?
She did to R-Truth. Apparently she got heat with R-Truth off of hurting him on the attack.
But to the point that you made earlier about Dean Ambrose, she got a spot with Dean Ambrose on the following Raw.
Yeah.
No wonder Dean Ambrose wanted to walk out of that fucking company.
He was like,
no shade on Nia because Nia got talent, but damn, son, for real? Fucked up.
You understand that Dean Ambrose told WWE this prior to all of this happening. They just released the information. So here's our way of saying thank you for telling us, Dean. Here, Nia Jax, you come out. Dean, get the fuck out of the ring. You ain't shit no more. Did you see how clean and how easy he lost to Seth Rollins?
It was a good match.
And the funny, on Raw, a regular ass match was probably their best match in like 3 years.
Sad, but I'm not going to say you're false. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Hills about the Royal Rumble.
Well, as an aside, Maurice Williams has noted that Mr. Black is in the comments looking for you, SP3.
Oh, Mr. Black, we gotta find what Mr.
Are we
Black
really gonna talk about that?
Mr. Black, Mr. Black.
Are we really gonna talk about one getting high and one backing out of Jabba Slam? Both of you, because both of you are fuck ups. Both of you are fuck ups. Because this one fucking smokes a whole ounce of marijuana, and this one decides to put his title on the line without getting the commission's permission. This is what happens when we get some power. We get some power, we don't know how to act. We put titles on the line, and we get high as fuck. So we don't even know how to act, so we go into a whole venue where there is control, where there's legalization, where there's things that needs to take place. You put your butt on the line without getting their permission, and this jackass decides he wants to go get high as fuck the night of the show. Not the night before, the night of the event.
Not my fault. It's not my fault. I give people opportunities, and that's their fault.
For the people that hasn't seen your video, please explain what happened. Why this match did not take place at Jabba Slam 3, please?
Well, basically, by me putting the 1 pound of gold on the line, the New York State Athletic Commission had to step in and sanction this match at Legends on 33rd Street. And apparently, Mr. Black smoked an ounce of marijuana or some type of, and he had over 700 1,000 TAC milligrams in his urine when we tested, and apparently we couldn't have the match, and it was shut down. The managers of Legends, the New York State Athletic Commission, would not let us have that match.
Yo, what was Bruno's comment? I know you can see it.
What was Bruno's comment? Let's hear from him.
The recent one?
Yes.
His comment is, he said, this is why I do cocaine.
Great.
Yo.
Bruno says, yo, this is why
he's number one in the chat talk.
This is why. He's got excellent timing. He's got top guy JJ dying over here. Anything else regarding the Royal Rumble? What would you guys MVP? In my mind, I feel like the MVP of the night was either Becky Lynch or Nia Jax. Whoever competed in two matches in the night was the MVP, and the show stealer for me was Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Right. So yes.
One of the best 8-minute matches that I've seen in a long, long time. Yep. It put over Finn Balor tremendously. We did not need that post-match at all. It literally pissed me off because it took away all the fucking effort that you put into building Finn Balor in those 8 minutes, and you took it all away in a beatdown that lasted 2 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
Unfortunate. Yeah, but Finn and Brock was the best men's match of the night. It was the best men's match of the night.
The cruiserweight match.
I mean, yeah, on the main card, because of that fatal four way for the cruiserweight title was fire.
I thought they cut the match short. By the way,
they got good time.
I feel like the ending
to WWE match, standards, they got good time.
I got you.
WWE standards, they got good time. But as far as one
side comment. Though. This whole Jobber Slam 3 thing that happened, or that didn't happen, should I say, right?
It Triple H'd.
Yeah, it got Triple H'd.
I
was going to make a comment about it earlier, because he keeps on always promoting them and their events and being so, I don't know, downright a good brother sometimes, Sid. A good brother. And
he's a true heel.
He's always bigging him up and giving him these props. And this guy goes and he smokes a pound of fucking hash and he can't even have a match with you.
Did he smoke the pound of hash?
I didn't smoke it.
And he, of course, he's gonna promote it because he's gonna be there live.
I'm the star.
He's starring at the place, so why wouldn't he promote it? That's like you being somewhere and you're hosting a title match and you're not.
I'm the Undertaker of Jobber Slam.
He appears there once. He appears there 3 times a year.
That's it. Next one is Jobber Slam 4, which I hope we can have this match.
Keyword.
Listen, so first of all, he's not their dad, which obviously he shouted out Papa Black. He shouted out Papa Wilk.
At the end of the fucking day,
he...
How do you know that you're going into a match, you understand that you can't do certain things before a match?
J News, look at the camera and ask Mr. Black why.
Why? Why, Mr. Black? Why? Well, the last couple of ones that we missed was the new beginning.
MVP of the Rumble was Becky Lynch, though.
Yeah.
You can't have co-women's match of the night and win the Royal Rumble and not be the MVP of the night. But the show still, I completely agree with Brock and Finn.
What, anything else from the spotlight or the True Heels?
Maurice with the True Heel Heat Jax fact.
Nice.
Nia is the only person to compete in 2 Royal Rumble matches in the same night.
So, anybody that says Nia Jax is trash, eat that.
Eat it.
She's been in 2 Rumbles.
Eat it in 2. 1 night.
2.
In 1 night.
And she's had multiple eliminations in both Rumbles.
In 1 night.
And she eliminated multiple men.
She had 1 in
men. She had 1, right?
Yeah, she eliminated Mustafa.
That shit felt like multiple. Yo.
She beat up multiple men.
Yo, she threw that little motherfucker out, yo.
That was for sure. But we just touched on the new beginning shows. They had their 2 in the U.S., which were actually, you know, affected by the U.S. government shutdown. In the main event of the first show, it was Juice Robinson and Tracy Williams, who was defeated the one-night-only reunion of Roppongi Vice, which was Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. And then last night in Charlotte, in the main event, it was Juice Robinson successful defending the IWGP U.S. Championship against Trent Beretta. And then also this morning, New Beginning in Sapporo, night 1, in the main event, it was Jay White and Bad Luck Fale defeating the Dream Team of Okada and Tanahashi, with Jay White submitting, making tap out the IWGP Heavyweight Champion Hiroshi Tanahashi. So we're gonna talk about New Beginning on the in a little bit, but what do you think about that result in the big one? And then also, it was Minoru Suzuki who was successful against Sonata in what was the match of the night.
You know, it's interesting how New Japan books their shows. Because it's not 50-50, it's not necessarily one-sided either. But sometimes, like, the understanding of how or how specific wrestlers are going to go on the rise, where they, quote-unquote, should win, and they don't win, it's like they drag it out too long sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? The reason I say that is because that tag match, which is what something they always do, Jay White, Bad Luck Fale against Okada and Tanahashi, we already know Jay White's not winning that belt. We already know that.
We don't know for sure because
we know he ain't winning.
We don't know.
They gave the belt to a Gaijin and the man stepped on out. He's going to AEW now, isn't he?
Yes.
They're going to keep it. They're going to keep it on the man with the red hair now because he has red hair now.
Yes, he apparently dyed his hair. We found out where Okada's hair dye went. It went to Tanahashi.
So that belt's going to stay on, Tana. The rise of Jay White has been great.
It's been a great story.
Guys, real quick. We're going to leave the WWE and not talk about the debut of Volta? We're really going to do that? No, I'm hyped about that. I'm rocked the fuck out about that.
That was last one. That was on True Yo-Yi 24.
No, but he debuted. And did you see what he did to that young boy? To that little boy?
Do you guys see what I'm dealing with?
All the time.
Like, really?
Why do you act like this matters? How do you not talk about...
I'm thankful for you.
This does matter. Because New Japan is a table setter.
Exactly.
Yo, listen.
We're table setting because we're going to talk about what's next. New Japan in USA.
He's pissing me off.
The final night in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to
go... Why do we care about what happened in Nashville, Tennessee?
We're not going to be talking about what happened. We're going to be making our predictions. Are you ready?
Do we really care?
I know you don't care because you always lose. So, let's go. A couple of these guys we're not really familiar on because a lot of these are guys from the New Japan Dojo in LA because of the
which
U.S.
leads
government,
to my point.
The U.S. government shut down a lot of
he
people.
Leads
been
into,
off
he
this.
Leads into I, what we're not I, familiar
I,
about.
I want to make a point.
He leads into what we're not familiar
I
about.
I want to make a point.
But we're supposed to care.
To the True Heel Nation and Spotlight Nation, this is why they call me J News. Those guys from that L.A. Dojo are being trained by the one and only Shibata-san. So, if y'all want to get into who these new guys are, watch these shows, watch these new guys, whatever you want to call them. They always
because
like
the Young Lions potentially become the big stars. Yeah. You got Jay Wyatt, you had Hiromu Takahashi, you have Roppongi 3K in the junior tag team division. No matter if Top Guy JJ cares or not, he's always complaining about WWE, but that seems to be the only thing he's up to date on. Anyway, let's move on. Cole Fredericks. He's going to be versing Alice Collin. These are two guys out of the LA Dojo. I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'm just going to say it's going to be a draw. Because the Young Lion battles when it's one-on-one usually are like a 10-minute time limit. So I'm going to go with the draw. But if I had to pick one, I would go with Alice Collin. I hear he has a background in amateur pro wrestling. So he is familiar with that. So who you got?
I probably got Fredericks on that just because I've seen a little bit of his work outside of what he's about to do with New Japan. So I'll go with Fredericks.
Who you got? Coughlin or Fredericks?
I'm going to agree with G News for once. You know, I'm going to agree with Jay News. I'm going to go with Fredericks.
Very shocking.
You know what? We've had at least 5-6 agreements since we've been on True Heel Heat. Even though I hate this asshole, but, you know, that's why they put us opposite each other because, you know, he doesn't
have... I have to be between them after True Heel Heat 24. I have to be between these guys. Moving on, we got Jonathan Grisham.
Wait, did you take my stick and not smoke it?
I did, actually. I took a pull. Jonathan Grisham.
I'm proud of you. Now you're getting on board.
He's going to be teaming up with a longtime favorite, Colt Cabana, to verse Shane Taylor out of ROH and one half of the Killer Elite Squad, Lance Archer.
I feel like in this one, Shane Taylor is going to take this one. Shane Taylor, they're really building up in ROH. I mean, of course, I can't go for the good guys winning in this one, but I feel like Shane Taylor needs a couple of rubs off of this show. So who you got?
I'll mention this. Shane Taylor is not my cup of tea. So I'll leave it at that. I've been getting behind John Grisham for a while, so, you know. Give it to
Grisham
the Octopus.
In Colt Cabana?
Grisham
in
Cabana.
Any match that Colt Cabana's in, I'm not picking Colt Cabana, so I'm definitely going with Shane Taylor and Lance Archer.
There we go. We're in agreement for once.
Yo, Colt Cabana is literally like the Cassius Ohno of ROH.
Yeah, he is.
Damn.
Yeah, he is.
That's tough.
The gatekeeper of talent.
So next up, we got Harlem Bravado. I just recently saw him at Evolve. He's going to be versing a great O'Conra, who's actually been getting a push on the first two shows of the New Japan in USA. Who you got in this one?
Probably O'Connor. Just because, yeah.
Okay. Who you got?
Are we on the Harlem Bravado match?
Yes. I was going to pick Harlem Bravado.
I can't pick.
Just because his
what
name is
What the fuck? Harlem Bravado? Like, dude, you're a wrestler. There's no way I'm picking Harlem Bravado. Next.
His first name is Harlem.
How do you spell his name? Harlem?
Next.
Harlem? Bravado.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense.
Next.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going with the great.
Great O'Connor all around. And next up, we got Clark Connors. He's going to be going one-on-one with the villain, Marty Scurll. I feel like this is the easiest one of the night.
Consensus.
I think we can consensusly say the villain is going to win this one.
Don't ask me this question.
Yeah, I'm not even going to ask.
This is
the one I was really looking forward to here. We got the ROH TV champion, Jeff Cobb. He's going to be going one-on-one with the Villain Enterprises' own Brody King. This is the first time I've seen it on a major scale. I know they versed before on the independents, but who you got in this one? Cobb versus King.
I will always have the back of my main man, Matanza Cueto, a.k.a. Jeff Cobb. Jeff
Monster
will win this match.
Who you got?
I love Jeff Cobb.
So, I guess you got Jeff Cobb. Yeah. I think we all around are going to pick Jeff Cobb. He's the ROH TV champion. He's the PWG champion. I feel like you got to move on with him. Brody King, though, he's going to have a great match. He's going to definitely, I feel like this is going to be the match of the night. If not this one, the main event. We got the team of Lifeblood. It's going to be a six-man tag team match. The new faction in ROH, Lifeblood. Tracy Williams, David Finley, and Juice Robinson. They're going to be teaming up against our Roppongi best friends, as I like to call them. Rocky Romero, Chucky T, and Trent Beretta. This is an elimination match. I feel like this or the Cobb King match is going to be the match of the night. Who you got in this one?
Well, I'm definitely going with the Lifeblood because they got to get some momentum. And this whole best friendship, I'm not a fan of it. So definitely going with the Lifeblood. I love that name. I just love the Lifeblood faction. So
I like it in general. The concept.
I love the
bringing honor back to Ring of Honor.
Bringing honor, bringing that integrity, bringing back real wrestling. I just love their motto, and I love their motive, and I love their motivation. Their off camera promos are usually really, really good. I like this faction. I'm definitely going with Lifeblood.
They've been getting a good push in ROH. They're good on the mic. They're good in the ring. And I feel like because of Best Friends, this is their last shows with New Japan. And Lifeblood has been on a winning streak against this Roppongi Best Friends faction. I feel like it's only right to finish off the right way and have Lifeblood win the elimination match. Who you got?
I mean, just from the sake of what you guys are saying, I mean, it seems like Lifeblood's the favorite here, right?
Yeah, Lifeblood would be the favorite. Best Friends is definitely going to be their last shows with New Japan.
Also, Jay News don't know who the fuck Lifeblood is.
No, I understand who they are.
No, understand, but do you know?
Yeah, I know. Why would I know? Why wouldn't I, of all people, know who
Because
Lifeblood?
You're fake right now.
How am I fake?
You're Jay Kayfabe.
Kayfabe?
You're Jay Kayfabe right now. You're JK fabe right now.
Anyways, I'm picking Roppongi Best Friends because I haven't seen Trent Beretta and the main man.
No
Rocky Romero.
Idea who Lifeblood is. No fucking
I'm
idea.
I'm the one who told you.
And
thinking
no
about
fucking
David
idea Finley. Who Lifeblood is. And then he's yo, just go ahead.
Oh
make your pick. Make your pick. Make your pick.
Like I said, Roppongi Best Friends, Trent Beretta, Rocky Romero, the Kentucky gentleman himself. Chucky T, I'm going with them.
So that's for New Japan in USA.
Fake news,
the final
bro.
Night in Nashville.
He's kayfabe news.
Who you think's gonna win those? We're gonna move on to Super Fight in Philly tonight. This is the big show. It's gonna be on Bein Sports. This is the big show for Major League Wrestling. They've been building up for this for a couple of months now. We're gonna run through this very quickly because we got two more shows to go through. DJ Z versus Myron Reed. Who you got?
DJ Z versus who?
DJ Z versus Myron Reed.
DJ Z.
Absolutely. DJ Z across the board. A grudge match. We got Ricky Martinez presented by Selena Del Renta versus Cotto Brazil. Cotto Brazil is a good friend.
Take your sheet, you filthy animal.
Of our friends at the WrestleCave podcast. So shouts out to WrestleCave.
So you know what the fuck is going on. No, don't act like you don't even know who's on the cards. So actually, how you want to take that? So look at it. Because the man worked hard on this, so you actually know who's on the fucking card.
Who you got? Ricky Martinez or Cotto Brazil?
Jesus Christ.
I'll go with Ricky.
So Ricky, who you got?
Jesus, why I hate agreeing with this fucking guy.
Across the board.
When it comes to wrestling matches, when you come to the ring with a valet, you're winning the match. That's just how I go.
I think Cotto Brazil actually is going to win this one. I'm going to go with Cotto Brazil. Like I said, he got interviewed by Russell Cave. So I'm going to go with Brazil. These two got Ricky Martinez. We got Rhys Swann, the Impact X Division champion. He's going to be versus Ace Austin.
Can you handle this? Can you handle
this? Rhys Swann, who you got?
You handle this? Can you handle this?
Rhys
Swann,
all across the board. We got Puma King. He's going to be going one-on-one with Gringo Loco. Puma King, I saw live at Major League Wrestling when they were here in New York. I'm going to go with Puma King. Who you got?
Loco on this time.
You got Loco? Who you got? King of Loco?
Yo, the fact that you're gringo, I can't go again. I'm definitely going with Puma King, yo. I'm definitely going with Puma King.
This one they've been building to for a couple of weeks now. We got a mystery tag
who you
team
think?
Match. I can pick Puma King.
You pick Puma. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Mystery tag team match. We got Tommy Dreamer and his mystery partner versus Brian Pillman Jr. and his mystery partner. I'm going to ask for your predictions on who you think is going to win and who you think your winner, mystery partner, is going to be.
Well, I know they've been pushing that Hart Foundation out there in MLW.
Hart Foundation are getting a shot at the tag team titles in this night, so it's definitely not going to be a member of Hart Foundation as his partner.
Well, I'm not saying those guys.
Okay.
I'm just saying that there can be someone else from that particular family to show up and, you know.
And
you
who would that particular someone be?
That I don't know. I'm just going with that. I can just say that team's going to win. Okay. That's how I'm going with.
So Brian Pillman Jr.
I have no fucking idea who's coming out, but I know Tommy Dreamer don't win no matches. So I'm definitely going with Brian Pillman.
I'm
going
to go with Sandman being Tommy Dreamer's partner. So it's at the ECW
Arena. I mean, they definitely losing.
I don't.
Well, as a matter of fact, I got a freaking far off shot for somebody who can be Brian Pillman Jr.'s freaking partner.
Who?
His trainer, Lance Storm.
Another student of the dungeon. I like that pick as well. We got a special.
Yeah, let me know if y'all give a fuck about that.
We got a special challenge rematch. It's gonna be Ace Romero versus another one of our good friends, Simon Gotch. Simon Gotch had his whole $10,000 challenge. Yeah, News chilled out with Simon Gotch back in Chicago. Simon Gotch had his little $10,000 challenge, which Ace Romero won. He finally defeated him after weeks of Simon Gotch becoming victorious. Who you got in this one?
Gotta go with Ace at this point.
Ace Romero. Fuck Simon
Ace God. Romero. Oh, damn.
I don't go that far.
I said he's one of our friends.
I don't go that far.
You're cool. Why? Because he was cool with us in New Orleans?
Not in New Orleans. You don't even know where you're at. Even know where you at. Where
I know where he was cool with us at.
It was in Chicago, not New Orleans.
Actually, I thought he was cool with us in New Orleans, too. Oh, my bad. When the producer tells me no, that means I have to be wrong. So I agree. So my bad. I apologize. But Simon Gotch is still a fucking nobody.
That's not that. God, that's awful. That's
awful. Jesus. Awful take. Aerostar. He's going to be going one-on-one with Ray Horace. Ray Horace, you may know from Lucha Underground as Dragon Azteca Jr. Mm-hmm. Who you got in this one?
I got Ray, man. He's a hell of a competitor inside the ring. Aerostar has never been my favorite luchador.
Me
so I'll go with Ray on that one.
I'm going to go with Ray as well. Ray is very young. He's up and coming. Aerostar, even though he looks young in the ring, he's older. He's in his, like, I think he's early 40s, 40s, yes. Late 30s, mm-hmm. or something like that. So who you got in this one?
I can't pick Killshot seriously in any match, bro.
Killshot? It's not even Killshot. It's Arrowstar and Ray Horace. Who is Killshot?
Oh, Shane Strickland is Killshot.
He's not on this show.
Shane Strickland is Killshot. But Arrowstar... Again, that's...
Oh, no. I'm at a loss for words right now. I don't even know what the fuck to say. Like, I was the one being told I didn't know what the fuck was going on, and he doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
I think we need a true heel intervention.
No. Y'all might need a Drew Hill blood test.
Oh my god.
All right, so I'm definitely not picking Arrowstar. Picked Arrowstar. Arrowstar wins no matches. Arrowstar didn't win any matches in Lucha Underground, and he's not winning any matches at this show.
Ray Horace across the board. We got, for the MLW World Tag Team Championships, it's going to be the Lucha Brothers, who we talked about earlier, Pentagon and Phoenix, going against the Hart Foundation, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Teddy Hart. This one's been building for a while. Hart Foundation has been the main stable in Major League Wrestling. They've been almost undefeated in tag team wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. But Lucha Brothers have been the mainstay, the Major League Tag Team Champions for the past 6 months. Who you got in this one?
Just based on the fact that they just got if they got an AEW deal, I'm going wrestling booking wise. The Hart Foundation is gonna fucking win this match. They're gonna take those belts. And those guys will not be showing up on MLW anytime soon.
Who you got in this one?
Fuck. Got to go with the Hart Foundation, even though, obviously, we know what happened with the Lucha Bros. So it's got to be any other circumstance. This would have been Lucha Bros easy.
Word.
Easy. Like, this would have been easy. But just because of contracts and everything, I'm going with Hart Foundation.
I'm going to go off the president of MJF. MJF still has his couple of dates left with MLW.
That man is the salt of the earth.
He is the salt of the earth. I feel like MLW and AEW have a very amicable relationship.
That's some cheap food, by the way.
And I feel like good. Pentagon and good. Phoenix are going to be a part of the MLW
you fucking
shows.
Bodied that shit.
On Mania Week. So I
this
feel
motherfucker
like
SP
Lucha
acting.
Bros will get the victory.
SP over here acting like he on a diet and
MLW
shit.
MLW.
He didn't even touch a piece of his.
It's gonna be low-key, presented by Selena Delel.
Yo, he is the most unprofessional.
Tom Lawler.
He's the most unprofessional dude at Jobber Slam. He wants to sit here and acting like he's professional.
Tom Lawler won the Battle Riot back at in New York a couple of months ago for Major League Wrestling. Okay. Tom Lawler, the former MMA fighter, who's been building up a very good resume on the indie scene, but in Major League Wrestling, he's been getting that main push as the babyface.
You know
of
you
Major
can sit
League.
Down. No,
you don't see him. He looks like he's getting prepared for Bruno.
Yo, the producer is literally with multiple seats behind him. He's looking like he's training for a bout.
Trying to stretch a little.
He has multiple seats.
Stretch these hammies.
So who you got? Lawler versus Low-Key.
Low-Key?
You got Low-Key?
He sounds drunk.
Yeah, you sound drunk like him.
He sounds drunk. If he sounds drunk, I'm definitely going with Low-Key.
Low-Key, okay, so the drunk people got Low-Key, I got Lawler.
Yo, that food made him drunk. Yo, there was vodka in that noodles, bro.
This show really went off the rails like a
yo,
long time
SP
ago.
Yo, SP hasn't had a drop of food yet.
So, the new beginning in Sapporo.
We got the Julia Roberts to the True Heels, guys.
Night 2, tomorrow morning, we're going to go through the top 3 matches here. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Titles are on the line. It's going to be Shingo and Bushi of LIJ going up against Suzuki Guns, Kanemaru, and El Desperado. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to go with El Desperado.
You're going to go with Suzuki Gun, winning the Junior Tag Team Championships back. You could tell by that drink. That's why he picked that. Here you go. You're next.
I never go up against LIJ.
Me either. So, LIJ just won the tag team titles at Wrestle Kingdom, so I'm going with Shingo and Bushi. IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team titles are on the line.
But this is why I never win New Japan picks. Because you pick it like 2 hours into the show when I have like 3 drinks in my system. So I really could care less about these picks right now.
Because you're only up to date on WWE, even though you complain about it all the time.
No, I'm actually more up to date on some other promotions, but right now, these bullshit shows right now, no, I'm
what
not.
What other promotion is that?
I don't care about, huh? I don't care about
what
anything.
What promotion are you up to date with more? Huh? Ring of Honor? What was the last Ring of Honor show you saw?
Final Battle.
Oh, Final Battle. That was in December.
I know.
They've had about 2 or 3 shows.
Wait, if anybody watches Ring of Honor TV right now, please let me know, including you, because you don't.
I watched their main show. I watched Honor Reign Supreme.
I was about to sit here and actually listen for you to lie to me right now, talking about you watch Ring of Honor TV.
Nah, I don't watch that. I think Honor Reign Supreme.
So that means we all up to date on Ring of Honor.
No, I watched Honor Reign Supreme, which is the show on the 12th. You're wrong. So IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Titles. Evo and Sonata of LIJ versus Suzuki Guns, Minoru Suzuki, and Zack Sabre Jr. This is a tag team match that's been building up for a while. Who you got for this one?
Suzuki Gun!
Who you got?
I hate agreeing with y'all. I'm gonna go with Suzuki Gun.
All across the board, I'm gonna go with Suzuki and Sabre to unite the IWGP tag team titles and the Rev Pro tag team titles together. Y'all. IWGP Intercontinental Championship is on the line, and we gotta talk about this for a little bit, because this is not the type of main event that you have after so many people leaving for such a big show.
Right.
I just feel like if you're gonna go with the LIJ LIJ Suzuki Gun angle, you got Minoru Suzuki there, you got Zack Sabre Jr. there. I understand you want them to be the tag champions, or you want them to go against the tag champions, but Taishi versus Naito in the main event at New Beginning.
Listen. Ugh. I gotta say this right now. Taishi, to me, has been the comedic equivalent of who's the other Japanese guy who always wears the red tights all the time? That he's part of Chaos.
Oh, Yano?
Yano.
Yeah.
Cause they're fucking clowns.
Yeah. He comes now, out singing, lip singing.
Now Taichi has some great in-ring ability. But you don't really get to see it.
Yeah.
Because he's always, the whole bit is taking off his fucking pants. I go for my main man, Tranquilo, on this one. Just because Naito is second to none. So, yeah.
I mean, this is going to really be on Naito to carry this match. He's going to have to do, we're going to see how great Naito really is. If he can have a great match with Taishi, all hats off to you, but I got Naito in this one. Fuck.
Naito's going to show his stuff. He's got to. He honestly doesn't really have a choice.
He's got to if he's versus Taishi.
Well, at this point, I think this is more of a Taishi coming out party.
You think so?
It has. No. I'm being serious. Because
he's got an opportunity against Tanahashi. He's got an opportunity against Naito last year, which was a good match, but I don't know. If they're gonna
put him on the stage and they're gonna put him with the secondary belt for the promotion, he's gotta show out. He's gotta show better. I think this is more of a coming out party for him.
Let's see if he can come out for this. And then finally, our last show we're going through is New Beginning in Osaka. We're gonna once again go through the top three matches on that card. It's gonna be IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Taiji Ishimori. I had to get the pronunciation right.
Bone Soldier!
He's going to be defending for the first time against Taguchi. Rasu Kazushi. Who you got? Taguchi made Ishimori tap out to become the new Never Hope and Wait six-man tag team champions with Yanu and Maccabi. I like to call them the...
Ryusuke? Taguchi?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The baseball man?
Yes, the baseball man. And he shows out in these one-on-one matches. He does deliver. So who you got in this one?
I mean, they never give Taguchi the burn with the belt.
He got in the burn before. He's the one that...
How many years has it been?
Yeah, it's been like 3 or 4
years.
Yeah,
it's been about 3 or 4 years, man. So it's all Bone Soldier or nothing at this point.
I believe Bone Soldier is the guy they're going to build the title around. So who you got?
Is this for the never open weight?
This is for the junior heavyweight.
Junior heavyweight.
He never pays attention.
No, I really don't. I really don't because y'all know how I feel about that never open weight shit. All right.
Well, we're talking about the junior heavyweight championship, so let's move on now.
All right, so here's the part of the True Hill Heat that I don't pay attention. Who's the match?
Taguchi versus Ishimori. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Taguchi.
Of course he would. Of course he would. We got Okada. Kazuka Okada, he's going to go one-on-one with Bad Luck Fale. This is a grudge match. This is Okada trying to still get his vibe back after getting that big loss against Jay Wyatt at Wrestle Kingdom. Who you got? Okada versus Fale.
The Rainmaker, like, what the fuck? Yo, dude just unveiled his short tights.
This is, what, their second match?
This is, I think, their third match. They fought a couple of times. I think they fought last year in the G1. Bad Luck Fale defeated Okada. He was the second one after Jay White who defeated Okada to start off the G1. But this is a rematch based on that match. So who you got?
It's got to be the Rainmaker at this point, just so he can keep on creeping up.
He's going to keep on creeping up because I feel like the Rainmaker is the perfect person to verse who I think is going to win the winner of this main event matchup at the G1 Supercard. So the IWGP Heavyweight Championship will main event a new beginning in Osaka on the 11th. It's going to be the number one contender, Switchblade, Jay White.
Switchblade!
Getting his first shot at the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, going one-on-one with the ace, the new champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Who you got in this one?
Not yet. Not yet. It's coming, but not yet. Tanahashi is going to retain.
Who you got?
It's got to be Tanahashi at this point. To his point, not yet for Jay White. They've got to build this. They've got to make
him Dude earn. Just had the biggest win of his life at Wrestle Kingdom 13.
I get it, but at the like, end of the day, these the freaking
right.
The
that's what I mean.
The non-Japanese wrestlers, they got to work more
right,
to get the
right.
freaking shot.
So I it's see.
Like,
I
gotta,
see.
He's got to keep going.
I see it. More G1 climax.
Yes.
For Jay White.
For Jay White. Right.
Not now. Not
I
now.
Mm-hmm. I
summertime.
That.
Yes. Give him some time to earn it.
So maybe a Jay Wyatt Okada rematch next year.
I can see it. I can see it
for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Yeah. I can see that. That's actually a good proposal. So
you I'm see, gonna... even when I'm drunk, I have some decent opinions.
You know, a broken clock is right two times a day. So we're gonna go.
So did Bill Mayer.
Tanahashi getting the victory in this one. Tanahashi versus Okada. First time ever in the U.S. needs to happen at G1 Supercard. There is no bigger matchup in my mind that they can get for G1 Supercard other than maybe Chris Jericho versus Tanahashi. So I feel like Okada versus Tanahashi is the way to go. So that is all for the shows that we got coming up this week. We're going to review most of these shows on True Hill Heat 26. So if you have not already become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, True Hill Heat, please become a subscriber today. We are streaming live right now for True Hill Heat 25, and we're going to have our heated opinions, True Hill debate of the day, as well as our new segment, The Count, on our True Hill Heat YouTube channel this week. So check that out. Join the True Hills group page by TRU HEELS on Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter machine at True Hill Heat. I always got very good opinions, especially about the city of Phoenix.
Yo.
So check that out on our Twitter machine.
My man really went off on Phoenix, yo.
So tell him what your Instagram is, sir.
If I remember, but I think I believe it's True Hill _ Top Guy JJ.
Yeah, mine is _JONJAY. That's John J. So you can follow me there on Instagram because I don't have
Twitter. So he basically tried to say go to school basically with Jay.
So and also you can follow me on Instagram at TrueHill_EpicSP3. You can also get a True Hill t-shirt like this one right here on ProWrestlingTees.com/TrueHills. You can get this one or one of our Perf Pack approved True Hill shirts. Check us out on iTunes, our True Hill Heat podcast. You can listen to this audio on iTunes every week that we go live on our YouTube channel. We will follow up with our iTunes podcast on our podcast channel, Apple Podcasts, True Hill Heat. So check that out as well. Like I said before, you're going to be at Jobber Slam 4 coming up on WrestleMania weekend. But until True Hill Heat 26, we got Jay News here. We got Top Guy JJ. Jay News, I know you're not going to be on True Hill Heat 26, so you're not allowed to perform on any podcast for the next 90 days. We hope he doesn't sign with AEW. So until True Hill Heat 26.
They hit me on the DM.
We are signing off.